I'm going to use a lot of words today. I have pages and pages of words. Some you will hear, some you'll be thinking of things that I'm saying. You'll miss some of the words that I'm going to say. The one nugget that I want you to take home, in the midst of all the words that I'm going to share, is this. We need to love God and love our neighbors in such a true and real way that they also can love God and love their neighbors. That in itself is my message. That in itself is what we all need to do. I didn't call those the greatest commandments. Jesus did. Love your God with your whole heart, your whole soul, body, spirit, everything that you are. And secondly, love the neighbor as yourself. You see, that's the core, that's the heart. The big question is, why do we evangelize? And what is evangelism? And why do I have to do something else? You know, if I was going to channel my inner two-year-old self, why? You'll get some of that today. Why? I want to play with the Play-Doh. Why do I have to go over here? You know? But really, at the core of what we're supposed to do is know God so well, to have Him be such a part of us that His heart comes through. You see, this week, the one piece, the one tip, the one part of evangelism that I want you to know, with those are the actions that come from this. God desires a relationship with every human being and for all to hear. You see, that's God's heart. That's not Darren Vance's deal. That's not something that I thought one day as I was, you know, driving the car, listening to music, said, you know what? I want the whole world to hear about me. I want the whole world to know me. I'm important. I didn't think that. I don't even think that, so please don't quote me on that. The reality is that God desires this. God wants us to share the good news. God wants us to evangelize, and that's the word that is used to describe what He wants us to do. Let me read you from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a tree so he could see him. Jesus was coming that way, and when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." And so he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay him back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." To seek and to save the lost. We need to understand this more. We need to see and determine who are the lost. Who is this lost crowd? And if they're lost, how can we find them? What is our role? What are we supposed to do? And I'm going to challenge you with the question at the end, how many are on your list? Evangelize is a verb. It means to convert or seek to convert someone to Christianity. Preach the gospel. The church's mission is to evangelize and declare faith. That's what evangelism is. But why? As a Christian, is your life better? Are we better than them when we say the lost? Do our lives suddenly become bonbons and whipped cream covered pumpkin pies? Do we get to sit and laugh and enjoy all there is all the time? But do we become so nice that people say, I want to be just like them? Do we drive nicer cars, live in nicer homes? Do we smell better? I've been with you all. The answer is no. The reality is the world wonders, why? What is it that you're offering? Why are you any different, any better? Who is this man Jesus that you speak about? Why evangelize? Why? I mean, can we blame the world around us? No. I'll answer my own question. No. God's desire, He desires a relationship with every human being and for all to hear. So why should we? Because He does. Why should we? Because He said so. I don't like that part. Because He said so. Why? Because. Just because. In His case, He can actually say, you have to do what I say because it is what I do. It's not the other way around. Don't do what I say, do what I do. Or what is it? Do what I say, not what I do? That's the bad saying. He shows us how to love. I saw a bumper sticker. It made me laugh. I'll share it with you. It said just this. Where are we going and why are we in this handbasket? And so for those that know the saying, we're going to hell in a handbasket, that would be really, really funny. If you don't know the saying, we're going to hell in a handbasket, then that wouldn't be funny at all. But I knew that saying, so as I read that, where are we going and why are we in this handbasket, I laughed. I was in the parking lot by myself laughing at that bumper sticker. And so there you go. And on the same car was my second favorite bumper sticker. It said this, never try to teach a pig to sing. It wastes your time and annoys the pig. And to me, there's some wisdom there. You know, never try to teach a pig to sing. It wastes your time and annoys the pig. To be honest, some of us might put evangelism in that category. Never try to share your faith. It wastes your time and annoys your friend. So the bumper sticker that I thought was funny convicted me on my rest of my walk into the grocery store with my cart. And ouch. So I share that with you. I saw a bumper sticker on the way back from Boston this week, and it said this, honk if you love peace and quiet. You know, brilliant. It's not me, the bumper sticker. I want that job. Who sits around all day and gets to make bumper stickers? I want that job. That would be really, really good. The thing is, I was in Boston for a conference, and the conference was on dysphoria. Dysphoria is the medical word for an incongruence between an inner identity and an outer identity. It comes to play in something like anorexia, where we see them as very thin, unhealthy thin. They look in the mirror and they see overweight. Fat. There's a disconnect there. It comes to play in gender identity. What they feel and what they see are two different things. And it's not a laughing matter. It's not something that we can push aside. These things happen and they're out there. And I went to a conference. And how can you provide pastoral care in the context of dysphoria? I was actually excited about it. It doesn't sound like a fun thing to do, but I enjoy things like this because it challenges me. It tests me. It stretches me and breaks my heart in a lot of ways. We were challenged not to consider it as a political movement, somebody else's agenda, something that doesn't exist, not to put our heads in the sand, But to understand that anybody with dysphoria is experiencing something, and we need to care for them where they are. We cannot treat them like a cause or a movement or an agenda. We have to treat them as a person, as an individual, and understand the hurt that they're in. And that's the reality. It's not hope in healing, it's hope in the resurrection. It's hope in the fact that God can love them through anything and care for them through anything. He heals some of us, and others, we don't get healed. We heard some great praises today of folks that have been healed. And we all know folks that maybe have not. We don't understand the ways of God. But He loves us, and we're called to love in the same way. I was telling my friend Trevor that I have my own form of dysphoria. It's a little bit different. You see, inside, I view myself as a 28-year-old in his prime, greatest man ever, Chuck Norris. In my head, I am this in shape, really ready to go get him, Chuck Norris. And when I look in the mirror, I'm confused. He's not there. Come on. I was tested for it, and they went to put the needle in and it broke because inside I'm Chuck Norris. You see how that works? There's a disconnect sometimes, too, with our faith. And sometimes we generate a different image of who we are. And believe it or not, I can tell you that who are the lost, when I look in the mirror, I see one. If you look right or look left, you'll see one. Some of us are lost that have been found, but we're all lost. We all were lost. Lost just means there's a disconnect between you and a Heavenly Father. And who is that? In Isaiah, there are these words. Chapter 59, verses 2 and 3 says this. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He will not hear. For your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt, your lips have spoken falsely, and your tongue mutters wicked things. We are the lost. We were once the lost, but now we're found. But those around us are no better or worse. We can't treat them like a group, like a movement, like an anti-church organization, even though it feels that way sometime. They are individuals that may or may not have had any exposure to what is the gospel. And what is the gospel? The good news. The good news that Jesus was and is the Son of God. That He fulfilled promises and He made promises. That His death does cover our sins, does create a way for us to have a relationship with the Heavenly Father. And that He's coming back. That is the gospel. That is the good news. I'm going to read to you from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37, from a translation called The Voice, not the TV show The Voice, the translation of the Bible. It's called The Voice, and it's written out as a script, like it's a play that you are watching. Scene is this, verse 25. Just then, a scholar of the Hebrew Scriptures tried to trap Jesus. Scholar, teacher, what must I do to experience eternal life? Jesus, answering with the question, what is written in the Hebrew Scriptures? How do you interpret their answer to your question? The scholar answers, you shall love the Eternal One, your God, with everything you have, all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And love your neighbors as yourself. Jesus responds, "Perfect. Your answer is correct. Follow these commands and you will live." The scholar was frustrated by this response because he was hoping to make himself appear smarter than Jesus. The scholar adds, "Ah, but who is my neighbor?" Jesus smiles and answers. This fellow was traveling down from Jerusalem to Jericho when some robbers mugged him. They took his clothes, beat him to a pulp, left him without clothes, bleeding, and in dire condition. By chance, a priest was going down that same road, and when he saw the wounded man, he crossed over to the other side and passed by. Then a Levite, who was on his way to assist in the temple, also came and saw the victim lying there, and he too kept his distance. Then a despised Samaritan journeyed by. When he saw the fellow, he felt compassion for him. The Samaritan went over to him, stopped the bleeding, applied first aid, and put the poor fellow on his own donkey. He brought the man to an inn and cared for him through the night. The next day, the Samaritan took out some money, the equivalent of 2 days' wages, and paid the innkeeper and said, "Please take care of this fellow, and if this isn't enough, I'll repay you the next time I pass through." Which of these three proved himself as a neighbor to the man who had been mugged by the robbers? The scholar, the one who showed mercy to him. Jesus says, "Well then, go and behave like that Samaritan. Love your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself." I want you to understand that there's a word in here that I've read countless times, that I've read through, and missed. It says, by chance, this person was walking by. By chance, these men came upon this person that had been wounded. By chance, there was an opportunity there. There was a mission within the mission. The guy from there, being busy doing his work, has to get to an appointment. He steps aside. "I don't have time." By chance, a man going to do his duty at the church walks by. And by chance, here comes this man from away, the one that had traveled from afar, that had his own responsibilities. His heart was moved. And why does it stand out to me? Not because he was from away, that it was a mission trip, and I'm not going to go into that. That's not what I'm thinking about, although that's not a bad mission kind of a thing. We think a lot of times that I'm going to do what God has planned for me today. And we assume that our plan is his plan. We assume that the schedule he's laid out in front of us, whether it be good things or bad things or normal things, that is the plan ordained for my day. And if I do these things, it will be blessed. But you have to understand that by chance, that person that you come across is the person that you're supposed to minister to, the person that you're supposed to love. And it may not be as obvious that they're laying naked beside the road bleeding. It won't be that obvious. People cover their wounds. People hide their hurt. People don't want to be known in this way. But if you become aware, if you get a window into what they're going through, please, please, please understand that maybe by chance, maybe by divine providence, either way, there you are, and you know what we're supposed to do. So what is evangelism? Taking the time, providing the care, providing the follow-up as well. You see, what is our role? We have to love people so openly and honestly in a way that they see and understand that God loves us, so that for them, they can't help but wonder. It's not because of the car you drive or the songs you sing or the fact that you might pray before a meal in a restaurant. It's not because they know you go to church. It's not because you wear the T-shirt. It's not because you have a bumper sticker that says, honk if you love Jesus. You know, that's not going to move them. Okay? It's just not. Acts 1:8 says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." I said this before, I'll say it again. Aquí, allí, allá. Aquí is here in Spanish, allí is right over there, and allá is way, way over there. And it has to be all those things in order to be balanced. We learn things all along the way. Ultimately, if we're walking by our neighbor that has need, to get to a church that's going to go over here to do some good, we've missed something. We really, truly have. It's hard to witness close to home. We're known. Our imperfections, are known. Our busy life, our differences, that when we're on a mission field far away, we don't notice. In fact, they're part of what helps. We look different. We are different. The fact that we've come from a long way gives us an in. It is much more difficult to love your neighbor, your real neighbor. Not neighbor as in, everybody's my neighbor. You know that one next door with the dog that barks all the time? The one next door that kind of gets on your nerves maybe? The one next door that you don't even maybe know their name? That neighbor, your real neighbor, the neighbor that has a name. That's the one we need to love. Matthew 28:19-20 says this, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." We look at that and says, "Therefore go." And we think that means I need to maximize my airline miles. We think that therefore go requires a passport. We think that therefore go is part of a team. Somebody's got to have a plan. The church has to do it, and I'll go right along. Therefore go happens when you put your feet on the floor in the morning, when you open the door. And some of us, missions are even our house, right? It's not even out the door. Our mission is a key here. For some of us, our mission is still in here. God is still doing some powerful things, and we're kind of pushing them out, saying, no, I like that particular thing that I still do. I'm not really ready to give that up. That's kind of part of who I am. And you need to do some work. So a key is a key. It's here. A-K-E-Y. Oh, K, I'll do it backwards. I can do this. E-Y, is that backwards or forwards? I can't tell. But if you can think of a key as in two words, A and key, that's here. And the key to your heart is where it starts. You see, the thing is, he knocks. But you've got to open. You've got to unlock it. You've got to start there. And I'm telling you, if you do, you will see the world differently. Mark 12:30-31. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Continues in 31 and says, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. So how many are on your list? You know, here's the list. We have a goal on 12/27/18 to take 25 high school kids that we don't know yet on a mission trip to Guatemala. What a great goal. It's a wonderful goal. I really want to do that. 25 kids that we don't know yet. It's going to cause us to get to know kids that we don't know. And we're going to use this trip as a way to build relationship. And the ones that have been, the people that are going to support it, will build relationships. And we'll have to talk with parents because the parents will say, you're going to Guatemala, that's crazy. Why would we do that? We have to build trust. We have to build relationship. It's about the trip, but it's about the relationship we're going to have to build in this process. It's about the team meetings. It's about relationship. It's a good thing. But I don't like that 25 kids because I don't have a name with it yet. I don't know Bobby. I don't know Billy or Sarah or Jane. I don't know the names yet. My heart is to know their names. Put a name with it. Put them on my prayer list. Put them on, you know, what are their parents' names? How can I get to know them? That is the goal. We're going to take a senior trip to Mexico. That's awesome. But I want to know the names of the people that are going so we can be in relationship and pray for them. I want to know the names of the people we're going to serve so we can know them by name and pray for them by name. We're going to take a trip to Nicaragua. There's some people here today that are going to go with us to Nicaragua. I want to know them by name. You've heard me say my heart wants us, and it really is my heart wants us, to engage in church in a way that we are focused on the transformation of 100 families in Oxford Hills over the next 5 years. 100 families, they won't all fit in here, and that's okay. The transformation of 100 families in 5 years, do you know what it means when we say they're lost? It means there's addictions. It means there's abuse. It means there's brokenheartedness. It means that the kids don't know there's any hope. Parents don't know there's any hope. Why even try? This world doesn't care. They're all worried about themselves. Why even try? See, that's the lost. That could and is us sometimes. It's not good to have it say 100 families. I want to know that it's the Johnsons that live on this road. They've got 3 kids. And I want to know their story. And I want to work with them for what their needs are. The thing we learned in dysphoria is that if you've met somebody in dysphoria, you've met one person with dysphoria. They're not all the same. You can't treat them like a group. We can't say that the lost needs us and treat them like a group and do a group thing and expect it to have any meaning. You see, it needs to be personal. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 6 says this, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people." I mean, all people. But he knows Darren Bance. I'm an all people, but he knows me by name. He knows I am no Chuck Norris. I'm not convinced, but he knows that I'm not Chuck Norris. Either by chance or by God's design, we meet people every day that we should be caring for. We need to get to know them by name. We need to put their name on a list. Do you have a list? Do you have a name? Do you have names? Is there people that you're building a relationship on purpose? You've had a by chance encounter. You have circumstances that put you with this person. Do you leave it at that? Or do you say, hey, is there something more to this? Let me pray about it. Let me see what God might have we do. What can I do? True North. I'm going to go from two-year-old why questions to a more educated is question. Is evangelism? Is outreach? Is care for the needy merely a suggestion to be considered based on our feelings and circumstances? Is the therefore go related to, if you've got time, therefore go as long as you've got a team and a purpose and a plan and somebody gave you the money so you can go kind of a thing? Is therefore go optional? Because I can tell you what, I don't think it is. Let me read these words to you. I was to leave the convent and help the poor while living among them. It was an order. To fail would have been to break the faith. I was to leave what I thought was good, what I thought was following God, what I thought was total investment of my life. I was to leave what was home, what was my church, and help the poor. And not just to help the poor, but to live among them. It wasn't an option, it was an order. To fail would have been to break the faith. You can't know my broken heart. I can't know yours fully and in depth and all that it means. I can't know all of your loss. I can't know all the things where life has fallen short, where people have let you down, where it appears as though God has failed. I desire to know. I'm sorry that bad things happen to good people, and they do. But if my heart's broken this much, God's is broken more. It's broken so much that he sent his son to step in the gap, that he sent his son to gather the church and send the church. Therefore, go, please. No, I command with all authority in heaven for you to go. So we all are lost. I'd love to say we all were lost. Some of us are somewhere in process. Live the good news. Share your story. That's what you've got. It's all I got. It's my story. The therefore go is really not optional. Why evangelize? He said so. I know you don't like that. He said so. Why? He said so. So questions. Who has God placed in my life to love? I wonder by chance. Who did God place beside you today? Was it by chance? We may never know. And how have you been individually prepared to go? Your gifts, your passion, your love, your experience. You can do things that I can't. You have relationships that I don't. You are the church. You are the church. Worship team, come on up. Sing that song in Guatemala. And I've described the Guatemala church, and this whole wall is glass. And that picture that you see there is very similar to what you see as you're in church and there's a volcano there and you see the city out there. And they sing this song facing this way, pleading and screaming and yelling, greater things are yet to be done in this city, imploring God to do more and more and more. And it's a beautiful and moving thing. Oh, I love that heart and I love that passion. And that's an experience you gain when you go and when you serve. Can we have that be our experience here when folks come to this church? Can they see that passion in us? Can they hear us pleading, Lord, there is none like you? And we know greater things are yet to come. That is the truth. Let me pray. God, thank you for today. This was a marathon of a service. We had testimony from Alex. We heard testimonies from your people. We got to share in communion. We got to pray with each other. Lord, you love us. You know us by name, and I'm thankful for that. Let us be open to all that you would have. Let us see with your eyes and love with your heart. Let your spirit fill us and guide us. Let your kindness be ours, and let your love too flow from us. Bless this church, bless these people, and fill their list with names. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.